Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Remember over a year ago when Hamas, supported by Gazans, attacked and killed over 1,000 Israelis and took several hundred hostages? Many of those hostages are still being held, and some of them are Americans. I wonder why, given all the attention given to Israeli actions in the area, why isn't our nation pushing hard on Hamas to release our hostages? Why aren't we pushing hard on the UN to force Hamas to release all the hostages, and certainly ours? Something's wrong here. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What'd you do for Thanksgiving, Skip?
Oh, same old, Colonel. We had a great time. We went out in the woods. We shot the turkey. We killed it. We brought it in. We cooked it. We ate it. All is good on planet Earth.
You know, the only important question I have for that is, did you have cranberry sauce?
Yes, we always have cranberry sauce, but we didn't shoot them.
You know, I love turkey, but it's got to have cranberry sauce. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the possibility of a nuclear war because of the way we're letting Ukraine treat Russia. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. And Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman will share his insights. Steve Wilson will present the helpvet.net. And next, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for News and Comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. And we'll, of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, Vladimir Putin faces the risk of being toppled in a potential civil war in Russia if he launches attacks on the U.S. or the U.K., an expert warns. Amid escalating threats to Western allies supporting Ukraine, Putin has boasted that Russia can now directly target the UK and United States with its missiles, and has claimed that new missiles are ready to be used following a recent ballistic missile strike on the Ukrainian city of Dnipro. However, security analysts contend that Russian power brokers would likely intervene to prevent World War III, saying, "Putin has a very strong grip on power in Russia. He would be very difficult to remove. He is revered in Russia after that chaotic period of the Soviet Union. That is what gave him such a strong power base. But if he is seen to be doing something reckless, the kingmakers among the oligarchs could rise against him. There could be a civil war in Russia."
As I'll discuss later in my comments, this is a situation created by dumb moves on both sides. And it's true, there are a number of Russians who'd like to see Putin removed.
And our nation's planned overhaul of our nuclear weapons strategy may not be sufficient to take on the threats posed by Russia and China, a top Pentagon official admitted. Richard Johnson, who oversees nuclear policy, said the current plans could have to be enhanced to reflect the work being undertaken by Moscow and Beijing. Quote, "We are now in a world where we're facing multiple nuclear competitors, multiple states that are growing, diversifying, and modernizing their nuclear arsenals, and also, unfortunately, prioritizing the role that nuclear weapons play in their national security strategies," he said. His comments came after the White House said it would not change the country's nuclear posture after Russia lowered its own threshold for a nuclear strike. "We've been modernizing our nuclear deterrent for some time, which includes plans to deploy nuclear weapons at an airbase in the United Kingdom." Quote, "To be prepared for the 2030s, we have to modernize our nuclear forces, the nuclear command and control, and the associated infrastructure that will allow us to be flexible and adjust over time as new challenges arise, whether that's new threats or potential changes or delays in our modernization," said Grant Schneider, Vice Deputy Director for Strategic Stability at the Joint Staff.
As we've been sharing for years now, our military is very, very strong in the area of being woke, but not so much in the area of being combat ready. It's time for a change. Thank God President Trump is coming.
And Russia has supplied air defense missile systems to North Korea in exchange for sending its troops to support Russia's war against Ukraine. North Korea has sent over 10,000 troops to Russia in October, some of whom have recently begun engaging in combat on the front lines. This troop deployment threatens to escalate the war, and what Russia could give to the North in return has been a source of international speculation. The most alarming development for South Korea and us would be Russia transferring sophisticated weapons technology that can enhance North Korea's nuclear-capable missiles targeting its rivals. Many experts say that it's unlikely Russia would do this in the initial stage of the North's troop deployment. North Korea and Russia have been sharply boasting their military and other cooperation in the face of separate confrontations with us and our allies. Last month, South Korea's spy agency said that North Korea had sent over 13,000 containers of artillery, missiles, and other conventional arms to Russia since August 2023 to replenish its dwindling weapons stockpiles.
Two dictatorships supporting each other. This is bad news for the rest of the world. Bad news.
And Israeli airstrikes killed at least 11 people and injured dozens in central Beirut, officials said, as diplomats scrambled to broker a ceasefire. The strikes were the fourth in the Lebanese capital in less than a week. The escalation comes after U.S. envoy Amos Hochstein traveled to the region this week in an attempt to broker a ceasefire deal to end the more than 13 months of fighting between Israel and Hezbollah, which has erupted into full-on war. Israeli bombardment has killed over 3,500 people in Lebanon and wounded over 15,000, according to the Hezbollah-controlled Lebanese Health Ministry. The fighting has displaced about 1.2 million people, or a quarter of Lebanon's population. On the Israeli side, about 90 soldiers and nearly 50 civilians have been killed by rockets, drones, and missiles in northern Israel and in fighting in Lebanon. Israel's military did not issue a warning for residents prior to the strikes in central Beirut. It warned residents in parts of Beirut's southern suburbs that they were residing near Hezbollah facilities, which the army would target soon. The warning, posted on X, told people to evacuate at least 500 yards away. The army said that recently it had conducted intelligence-based strikes on Hezbollah targets in Beirut's southern suburbs, where Hezbollah has a strong presence. It said it hit several command centers and weapons storage facilities.
How many times were ceasefires called during World War I and World War II? None. The Allies were at war with the attackers, and the attackers wanted us dead. We shot at and bombed the enemy's country, and it was all considered normal. Hezbollah and the other terrorists want all Jews dead. What good for Israel can come from a ceasefire? The citizens need to throw Hezbollah and the other terrorists out, and they can do this by not supporting them, like they're doing now.
And the International Criminal Court recently issued arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his former defense minister, Yoav Gallant, based on reasonable grounds that they bear responsibility for a war crime and crimes against humanity in Gaza. The court also issued a warrant for top Hamas official Mohammed Deif, who Israel claims it killed. Netanyahu condemned the warrant, saying, "Israel rejects with disgust the absurd and false actions." Global reactions have been mixed. Our nation is one of dozens of countries that did not sign and do not accept the court's jurisdiction. Others include Israel, Russia, and China.
Hey, Israel had every right to attack nations that attacked her citizens. People do get hurt in war. All the citizens have to do is stop supporting the terrorists, and the war's over. The International Criminal Court is one more international organization that accomplishes nothing good. And that's the news for today. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. We'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. And then we'll talk with General Jack Bergman. At ease, troops, take a break. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. Next time you upgrade to a new cell phone, don't throw your old one away. If your old phone can hold a charge, you can stage this phone for emergency use in a home defense situation. Every cell phone, whether on contract or not, has the ability to call 911. Keep an old phone in the glove box of your car as well as your safe room just in case. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patria Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriafoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriafoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. You know I support Ukraine against Russia. I've also said that their European neighbors should be the primary support in this war, as those neighbors are more likely to be Russia's next target if Ukraine gets conquered. For the record, as there are most of the world's about 200 nations, Ukraine is corrupt. Thus, it's insane that we are just giving them money and not knowing where it goes. Okay, President Biden recently authorized Ukraine to use U.S.-provided long-range missiles to strike deep into Russia, and they fired them and British missiles deep into Russia. Russia said that if this happened, they'd likely have a nuclear response against the nations that provided those missiles. You know, you never know what any means when they just talk or whether they just make a noise. I mean, since Putin has no problem striking deep into Ukraine, why is this inappropriate? Well, because Biden hasn't spoken to Putin in 3 years, we didn't know how big a deal this was to Putin. Now we know. Today, the world is closer to a nuclear war than at any time since the Cuban Missile Crisis. 2 weeks ago, the AP reported, quote, Biden has authorized Ukraine to use U.S.-supplied missiles to strike deeper inside Russia, end quote. Such long-range missiles hadn't been provided until just recently, and we only just authorized their use against Russia. Okay, Biden decided not to tell we the people how he had ratcheted up the possibility of a direct confrontation with Russia. And other nations, including England and France, have followed Biden. So what's going on? Well, maybe our military-industrial complex is pushing Biden to make sure they get World War III going before Trump can create peace. Putin said in September, quote, aggression against Russia by any non-nuclear state, but with the support of a nuclear state, is proposed to be considered as their joint attack on Russia. He added, Russia reserves the right to use nuclear weapons in case of aggression, including if the enemy using conventional weapons poses a critical threat, end quote. He has since backed down a bit, but that may be just for media's sake. At the risk of agreeing with Putin, there's been an agreement among major powers for over a century that we would not assist minor nations to attack a major nation unless we were at war with that major nation. That's why during the Korean War, we didn't permit South Korea to attack China. Indeed, one of the reasons we got into World War I was because Germany was encouraging Mexico to attack us. The Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 1960s was a similar issue. And a nuclear exchange would be devastating to everyone. The neocons who populate the deep state and their followers in the media tell us to blame Putin. Well, these stupid, provocative acts that are endangering our nation are coming from Biden. And we could have avoided this if he'd simply talked with Putin. So what to do? First, the cabinet should invoke the 25th Amendment and remove Biden as president. Biden's sleepwalking us into a hot war with Russia without a congressional declaration of war. Biden will take the position he took with the special counsel Herr, who about 9 months ago declared that Biden couldn't be held responsible for crimes as he was an old guy with poor memory. We need to put Kamala in the Oval Office, then we'll know who's in charge. She could be held accountable for what disaster might befall us, and she might just act responsibly. No longer would decisions be made by unknown deep state operatives who would scatter like roaches should a crisis occur. Second, the House of Representatives must impeach Biden now for taking steps that constitute acts of war without a declaration of war. The indictment should go immediately to the Senate for trial and removal. Third, incoming officials in the Trump administration need to make contact with Putin and his staff now to de-escalate the situation as much as possible, and this seems to be happening. Fourth, Trump needs to make it clear that the identities of those deep state operatives exercising the power of the presidency, now urging Biden's reckless acts, will be held to account personally and legally. Fifth, we need to pray that we have the time for the will of the voters to take effect on January 20th. We Americans spoke clearly on the issues of war. President Trump received a clear mandate for his promise to end the killing in Ukraine and seeking peace. Will any of these approaches work? Well, I think so. But we need to ask the Democrats and Republicans to do their duty. We need to do our duty to pray as well. We know President Trump will do his duty if only we can get to January 20th. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military veterans and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm a proud partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. And now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, it's not just Ukraine we need to worry about, but our troops are in direct fire in Syria, Iraq, and Jordan. Dozens of rockets, missiles, and drone attacks have focused on a strategic American base in the gas fields of northeastern Syria near the border of Iraq. This area is known as the de facto territorial dividing line between forces backed by Iran and the U.S.-led coalition to defeat the Islamic State group. U.S. Central Command has said that its mission support site, Conoco, has been attacked about 40 times since October 2023. But it's not just this base, as U.S. forces have been attacked 125 times in Syria and 79 times in Iraq in that exact same time frame. Mission support site Conoco is a dusty outpost about 5 miles from an airfield, which is controlled by Syria, and it's become the front line of the Iranian attempt to pressure U.S. forces to leave Syria altogether. This means the U.S. is actually fully engaged in a hot conflict right now involving Iranian proxies and the Syrian regime in eastern Syria. The U.S.-led coalition in Iraq and Syria is working to prevent the resurgence of ISIS. And there's about 900 U.S. service members in Syria and about 2,500 in Iraq, along with an unknown number of contractors. And some of those attacks in Iraq and Syria have killed or seriously injured American personnel, including 3 soldiers killed and dozens injured in a drone attack just over the Syrian border in Jordan. You know, I just don't think most Americans realize we still have service members that are currently deployed and being targeted by Iranian-backed proxies right now. So as we finish up our Thanksgiving leftovers and head into this holiday season, let's keep our troops in harm's way in our thoughts and prayers. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always appreciate your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Congressman Jack Bergman. Then we'll talk transitioning to civilian life with Jacob Snyder. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall on the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50 and stand at ease. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine, 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. And troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Well, it's an honor to welcome back to the show Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Jack has served our nation in a lot of ways, and he's a good friend. Thanks for joining us again.
Denny, great to be with you and all the troops who are listening in.
Jack, start by giving us a quick review of your time in uniform. When and why did you decide to become a Marine? I don't think I remember that.
Well, I got out of high school in 1965. So just as Vietnam was starting, went to college, and I grew up in a family where my dad and my uncles had been, whether it be in Africa or the South Pacific during World War II, and my mother and all her sisters and my aunts had all stepped up. So I was raised in a family that believed that you step up when your country needs you, and I signed up while I was in college to go into flight training afterwards. And that was 1969. Got my wings as a helicopter pilot and ended up in Vietnam flying CH-46s, which was medevac and resupply and, troop assault and all those things. Kind of a generic mission back in those days. And came back, spent a few years as a flight instructor in Pensacola, decided to leave active duty, but I stayed in the reserves. And through a lot of different things during the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, I was very involved in the Marine Corps Reserve. And lo and behold, in 98, the Marine Corps decided they wanted to pin a star on me. So after that, 9/11 happened, and I was back on active duty for 7 years, from 2003 until 2009-ish, and retired. And I was just kind of being a retired grandpa and husband and involved in a few things. And then all of a sudden I know I'm giving you more history than I probably normally do, but I had never planned on being in politics, but then our representative from Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula decided to retire and put my hat in the ring, and people elected me. And now that was, I just finished my fourth term, so I'm going into my fifth term now. So years 9 and 10, thanks to the voters of the First District of Michigan. And I sit on Armed Services, and I sit on Veterans Affairs, and I sit on budget as well. So, you know, being as a Marine, and I know as a soldier, you know, or sailor or airman as well, when we sign up to serve, we make sure we don't waste our ammunition and waste our resources. So that's one of the reasons I decided to get on budget, so we could help with the better spending that we have to spend here in the country. So that's kind of a long way of saying what I've been up to for the last, 50 years.
Well, that's good, because frankly, you know, I've been reading my notes. I was going to ask you those questions. So you made it go a little faster. Okay. I think it's fair to say that our nation is in transition now and moving in the right direction. What's your response to the election and the changes we're going through, what the next couple of months are going to be like, and what it'll be like after that? I mean, you're smack dab in the middle of it, brother.
Yeah. Well, number one, I don't think there's a person in our country right now who isn't glad to be able to turn on their TV and not see those goofy political ads we get bombarded with.
Amen.
You know, it's just so painful. But it's all over. But I think the important thing is, all we heard about before the election was, well, it's going to be the swing states. You know, there's these 10 states or 8 states or whatever it is, they're going to sway the election. Yeah, President Trump carried all of them. But the key element of this election that really people need to be aware of and understand, and how important it was, is that President Trump won the popular vote. In other words, the whole country said, we want Donald Trump to be president again. Okay, that's a mandate. That's not just some states carried the election. That's a mandate. And why that's important over these next few months is, now it's incumbent upon the soon to be incumbent. So I guess I can use the word twice to basically choose a cabinet that is going to be able to function and deliver on the promises that he made the American people. Whether people voted for him or not, he has the responsibility to do the right thing for all the American people, and he will. Now, here's one of the things people go, why did he pick so-and-so, or why didn't he pick some members of the House? Well, very simply, we have a very small majority in the House of Representatives. I mean, we still have one or two races that are still to be decided out of California. But we cannot afford, as the House of Representatives, to have too many of our members leave to go into the administration, because that takes our number of votes down and we can't pass any legislation. So that's kind of the reality of where we are right now.
You know, that's a very valid point. I'm not sure I thought about that. And the way we get new congressmen is different than the way we get new senators, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, we run every 2 years in the House, and the Senate runs every 6 years. But, and there's only 100 senators, but yet there's 435 members of the House of Representatives. But it's a game of numbers. And we are set up, when I say we, it's the majority in the House of Representatives, which will be led by Speaker Mike Johnson again. Mike, you know, got thrust into the job a year or so ago, whenever that was. It seems like it's been forever ago, but yet in some ways it seems like it's yesterday. But Mike's doing a heck of a job and building the consensus amongst the majority and folks on the other side of the aisle who want to do good policy and good law that represent the American people, not just the interests of a few goofballs who want to get sidetracked on issues that the American voters pretty much said, we don't care about your issue because it is not reflective of us as individuals or us as a country. And that, some people might call it a rebuke, but it was a statement by the American people saying, you know what, you as your party are focused on the wrong thing.
You know, that's pretty darn clear. And one of the things I have not understood why, particularly in the last 4 years, but for quite some time, why aren't we focused more on getting our budget balanced? I mean, our debt is horrendous, isn't it?
Well, it is. We've been spending way too much, and both parties are guilty of this. This is not just the last 4 years. And that's why one of the reasons I decided to get back onto the budget committee, because we have to stop the unauthorized overspending on projects that have not been properly appropriated by the Congress. And as it says in the Constitution, the House of Representatives has the power of the purse. We have not exercised it, and I'm excited about the, how do you pronounce it, DOGE or DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, that is going to be created under Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. We can do so much better without diminishing results for the American people, but we have to get in to see where the spending that is wasteful, that has to be cut. If there is no exception, it has to be cut.
Yes, sir. And it's impossible. I know enough about government to know that government is by definition not very efficient just because of the size and everything else. So there's got to be some waste and some things that can be straightened out with minimal impact on the people. But even then, we the people elected our representatives, and we the people kept electing people who were overspending. So we the people get to pay some of the price by having to deal with the cuts that we need to make. Is that too hardcore?
No, that's exactly right. And there's, I mean, I could go deeply into the historical military writer von Clausewitz in his classic novel On War back in the, was it 1800s, I think, somewhere in there. But the bottom line is what he says is, if you're in a tough economy, there's two ways you can get out of that tough economy. You can tighten your belt, cut the wasteful spending, do all of that, or you can create a conflict. Well, we don't want to create a conflict just because somebody was a poor budgeteer and was a wasteful spender. That is not a reason. So we know that the best way going forward is to tighten our belt. And the way you tighten your belt is to figure out where the pots of money are and the departments are that aren't adding value for the dollar spent. And let me give you one example. You've heard a lot of people talk about cutting the Department of Education, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because the Education Department has not been around for all that long compared to other departments. But what we did within the last few months is create it's called block grant funding. So Congress is going to appropriate money, but they're not going to give it to the Department of Education. They're going to block grant it directly to the state. So in my case, the state of Michigan, the state of Texas, New York, whatever it is. And it'll bypass, it'll go right from the coffers of Congress right to the states and let the states allocate the education money as they see fit.
That makes way too much sense. So there's more to discuss about that, particularly education, and Jack will stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I used to before I turned to my mid-80s. Anyway, we'll be right back.
As veterans, we at Concerned Veterans for America know defending freedom comes at a high cost. Our lawmakers should consider that cost when they send troops to war.
If wars don't serve our national interest, our brave men and women shouldn't be deployed into harm's way. Our troops should not be in combat because Congress doesn't want to make tough decisions about military engagement.
Find out how you can join the movement to end our nation's endless wars at cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. This is the Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Congressman Jack Bergman. Jack, we were talking about education, and I want to stay on that because I'm of the opinion that Congress's power comes from the Article 1 of the Constitution, and the 10th Amendment says anything not mentioned there remains with the states, and education is not mentioned in Article 1. How did we end up with an education department?
Well, that's a great question because it provides a very stark example of the rise of the bureaucratic state when back post-World War II, let's face it, our parents or grandparents, whoever, whatever generation, you know, that's listening today, it was either our parents or grandparents who literally saved the world and saved our country in World War II. They came back from Europe. They came back from the South Pacific, and they were tired, but they were ready to party and work hard to build the greatest economy and the greatest country in the history of the world. And they did that. But as part of that happening, I think there were some folks who legitimately just, they were just, they kind of took their eye off the ball a little bit. And there were people whose goal was to get into the bureaucratic state and establish their career there as a public servant, you know, all of the stuff that bloated, and then therefore the expansion of the federal government into areas that it didn't need to be in, as you mentioned about Article One. I mean, think about the EPA, okay, for example. Mm-hmm. All of the functions of the EPA were being done by other departments. But then somebody decided, well, let's create the Environmental Protection Agency. It sounds good. So you hire a bunch of people, transfer the responsibilities that were done in other departments, and you create a new department. Well, with any of those departments, that creates a bureaucracy, because you had good people doing the work, but you don't need administrative bureaucrats to sit on top of something that's already functioned under the guise of, well, let's bring it together under one roof. So that began in the 50s, probably sometimes mid to late 50s. And here we are, you know, 70 years later. That's how it started.
Well, there's room for improvement. And well, I highly doubt that President Trump and his team can do even half of all the things they're promising. They can at least get some of it going and movement in the right direction for the rest of it. Is that a reasonable statement?
Well, it is a reasonable statement, and it means the executive branch of the government, aka the president, has the responsibility to oversee the functioning of the government. And then you have, well, let's, you know, pick your secretary of, you've got your Secretary of Defense, who's got responsible for the national defense. You got your Secretary of State, who is responsible for the diplomacy and all the things that the State Department does. And to be quite honest, I've been pinging on them for a while here. But our State Department has lost its way over the last few decades, because some of the issues that we've had to deal with around the world were a failure of the State Department, Afghanistan being one. Because, you know, in military, we got either the supported command or the supporting command. Yep. And in that case, in Afghanistan, the supported command, the lead dog in the pack, was the State Department. Department of Defense was the supporting command. So we have so much room for improvement in the federal government roles and missions and how we do it in a 21st century world. We just haven't adopted new tactics, techniques, and procedures and adapted to the environment of how we, you know, well, we're probably going to have to do another interview, Danny, because I've got so much to talk about on what we can do and we must do in the world, because we as America are viewed as a world leader, and we need to live up to that now by showing the world that we can lead, and we lead for all people, not just us. Sure, we have to protect, you know, our responsibility is to protect our citizens first. But we have to lead for all people and be that example of positive leadership. We can do that. We just haven't done it for the last 4 years.
Yes, sir. It's amazing. But again, bureaucracies have a tendency to do that, right?
Well, bureaucracies are inherently risk averse. Their first goal is to preserve their bureaucracy. I mean, you think about it. When you were on active duty, what was your first goal? Accomplish the mission.
Yep.
You trained for the mission, you equipped for the mission, and then you executed it. And sure, you didn't want anybody to get hurt, but the first goal was to accomplish the mission, and you dealt with everything else secondary. Well, bureaucracies, the first goal is self-survival, regardless of if they accomplished anything or not. They live to play another day.
And that's one of the basic foundational pieces of the swamp, right?
It is. And in fact, if you think about it, Washington, D.C. was literally built on a swamp. That land was a swamp when the founders decided, you know, there was lobbying. Some people wanted the Capitol to be in Philadelphia. Some people wanted it to be in New York. Some people wanted it to be in Richmond, wherever. But D.C., that area, that plot of land was literally on a swamp. And what you have to do, it's not what's floating on top of the water in the swamp that's the detriment. It's what's below the water. So that's why the old term, you have to drain the swamp to see what swamp dwellers are, you know, sitting below the waters, you know, the top of the water, surface of the water, and what resources they're consuming sitting down there that you can't see.
You know, that's terribly true. And it's not horrible that this exists, because this would exist in any bureaucracy anywhere, but you have to recognize it and work to control it. At least that's my opinion.
No, well, it is. And think of a business. I mean, I think if you have a company,
oh yeah,
and you've got a good business, and then you expand and you have some success and you hire some people, all of a sudden then something changes and you have to cut expenses. Well, the first place you cut is your bureaucracy that was there, you know, put there for probably a good reason at the time, but then continued to expand on its own. And you say, nope, we got to cut this department because that is affecting our bottom line. And our bottom line as a country is to be safe and secure, to provide that for all of our citizens. And our bottom line has been suffering because of the wastefulness of too many bureaucracies.
Yes, sir. We certainly have hit the nail on the head on that one. We're running out of time, Jack. And yes, I agree with you. We're going to have to do this again. Sort of wrap up your thought. What are the key things you'd like us all to take away from our conversation today?
Okay, number one, the United States of America is still that beacon of a beacon of hope and light for the entire world. The American people spoke on November the 5th by electing Donald Trump to the White House, by giving us a majority in the Senate, and by giving us a majority in the House of Representatives. We have the triad, if you will, to get things done. And I want your listeners to know that there are guys like me and many others, and this is both parties included, who went to D.C. to do the right thing for the right reasons for the American people. And by golly, we're going to deliver on it, regardless of what some of the media points out as the missteps. You know, every day life is two steps forward and one step back, but all you hear about is the one step back. So let's focus on going forward.
Yes, sir. And I really appreciate your point that most of the people in Congress are really good people. And it's not the war between the Republicans and the Democrats. Yes, there's conflict there, but there are a lot of darn good Democrats there. There are a lot of darn good Republicans there. Every group's got a jerk or two. And it's time for us to work together. And wow, is that true? I appreciate that thought.
Great.
Jack, thank you. I think we, as you said, there's going to be plenty to talk about again. I'll get back with you and we'll find a time to pick up this conversation. But wow.
Wow is right, you know, and I wish all of your listeners, you know, a happy and joyous holiday season. And let's all continue the fight together and be positive about it.
Yes, sir. We are America. We are Americans. We're working together. That's what we have to do. Jack, thank you. Thank you for your great comments. Thank you for your continuing service to our nation. Thank you for being a good friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking about transitioning from civilian life with Jacob Snyder. Then we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games, and we'll review the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for self-defense of yourself and your family, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you're going to need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones and then maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or Facebook.